The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in the country's dynamic property industry. The township and rural shopping center subsector of the property market continues to thrive, and more development is currently seen in this area. On the podcast this week, I am talking to Smital Rambai, the portfolio manager of the Unlisted Community Property Fund, or COMPROP as it's more commonly referred, which is invested in SA's township and rural retail property market. Smital is also co-chairman of the Unlisted Property Committee at SAPOA, which is the South African Property Owners Association. Welcome to the Property Pod, Smital.
Thank you, Suren. I'm very happy to be on your show.
Recently, in September, actually, Future Growth Asset Management and Capital Land Asset Management marked the 10-year milestone in their property investment partnership in the growth of Community Property Fund, or COMPROP. How has the fund grown over the last decade? I understand it's a major unlisted player in the township and rural retail market.
Yeah, so I mean, this fund has been around actually since 1996 at Future Growth, but I'll focus on the last 10 years. So about 10 years ago, we were at about 1.8 billion rand in assets. We had 17 shopping centers, and over the last decade, we've grown that to 8.3 billion rand with about 25 shopping centers.
You are the portfolio manager at COMPROP. Were you there from the start of the partnership, at least within the context of you saying it has a longer history of almost 30 years? And perhaps you want to share some of the highlights over the last decade or so.
Sure. I joined Future Growth in 2012. We're the fund managers for the COMPROP portfolio. I started out doing a bit of analytical work, and after about 18 months, we together devised a strategy to propel the fund because we felt that it had strong potential at the time. And we obviously looked for a partner that could help us grow the fund, and we're looking for a partner that had an integrated asset and property management function that could also co-asset manage with us at Future Growth.
Mm.
So I took over the portfolio manager role back in about 2014, and appointed Capital Land to partner with us in the management of the fund. And, if I look at, over the last decade, it was a great decision, worth partnering with Capital Land because we won various awards. So if I look back in 2017, 2018, and 2019, we won an MSCI award for the best performing specialist fund in South Africa. And in 2019, we also won the best performing property fund overall for South Africa. And then recently at the SAPOA conference, they had the SAPOA Awards back in September, and we won an award for innovative excellence for the best refurbishment. And it was a shopping center called Bridge City in Kwamashu, which was very badly impacted by the riots that happened in July 2021.
Do you want to share any other highlights from a performance perspective besides what you've already mentioned, some of the flagship assets in the fund and the recent acquisitions? A few more highlights before we get into Bridge City. I actually know that center quite well. I was at the launch when it was built. I can't remember the name of the company, but I know they still have land rights there for some residential.
Yeah. So, if I look at the last decade, we've managed to achieve a 12.4% total return per annum for our investors. I think if you compare that to just the general property index, it's obviously very handsomely outperformed.
Mm.
And I think it's been our strategy of being a specialist fund. We only focus on township and rural retail. And so you have people that are within Capital Land and Future Growth that are, 100%, focused on that segment of the market. So you often find, when you become a specialist, you unlock, value better than a generalist. And I think, if I look at the last decade, we've had the strongest performing shopping centers in the portfolio that shows us returns, funny enough, was Bridge City, despite the riots and the destruction that was caused. It was still the best performing asset in the last decade. We did some very good acquisitions from companies in the private sector, like Molman Property Group. We bought Sam and Tully Mall and then the Boitekong Mall fairly recently. And then we did some purchases from Resilient as well, where we bought the Murchison Mall from them. So, I mean, these assets that we've acquired also have been strong performers in their respective markets. And I think where the market in the township rural space is going is that, you know, the consumer is looking for a modern mall that's fully enclosed, that gives you the same shopping experience, no different to, you know, the areas like Sandton or, you know, Cape Town in the metros.
Well, retailers are waking up to the fact that that's where the growth is, because you're seeing some of the big brands pushing into the township mall space and townships in general. I know you mentioned the riots, but can you share a little bit more around the lowlights and overcoming these challenges? Because clearly you have overcome them within the context of the growth, because there has been challenges not just for the shopping center industry, but also the broader business sector beyond even commercial property. We know all the usual suspects, load shedding, service delivery issues. COVID-19 was a massive hit. And just a year or so after that pandemic, you had the riots in largely KZN and Gauteng.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's funny, all of the points you mentioned, you know, we've been through this through thick and thin as a team over the last decade. And I'm going to start maybe with a municipal service delivery. We've seen it deteriorate over the past decade. It's been sliding gradually for years, especially often in the rural areas, because we've got quite a high concentration of properties in the rural outskirts like Mpumalanga and Limpopo, where, you know, electricity, water and sewerage has it's been deteriorating rapidly. I mean, we've had to become innovative over the last decade in terms of usage of solar. You know, we built our own treatable potable borehole systems that, you know, bypass the municipal water that's actually SABS compliant on top of it. So, you know, it's funny, we've been seeing this coming for the last 10 years. And I think some of our competitors that do both, you know, well, majority urban area centers and do a bit of township rural retail, I think they're seeing how difficult it is, you know, operating in this space, because you've got to almost become self-sufficient because you can't rely on the municipalities. I think COVID-19, we felt the impact in April 2020, and it was because of the lockdown level 5 restriction where, you know, only the grocers really were allowed to trade. But I think it was a really difficult time, and we've always focused only on essential goods and services, and I think that stayed us in good standing for what was to come. Because as you know, it moved to lockdown level 4, about 96% of our tenants were trading by then. So, and that happened within a month after April. So it was great, and a lot, 80% of our tenants are national tenants, so they very much, you know, have strong balance sheets that can weather the storm in these kind of events. So our portfolio was very defensive in nature over this period, and you know, investors did well because we didn't experience any capital loss on the properties on an overall basis. And I think it was the defensive strategy that we've always had. I think the riots, I remember sitting in an audit and risk committee meeting in April 2020, trying to figure out, you know, what are we going to do with COVID-19 and lockdown level 5 restrictions. I think back then people generally in the market took out very low cover on riot cover. It was, you know, Sasria kind of did people were paying premiums for cover of between 500 million up to 1.5 billion rand. But I think people were more on the lower end, and we decided that, you know, one of the biggest risks in COVID was that if lockdown level 5 persisted, we would have riots and looting of shopping centers because people become desperate to feed their families, and which you can't blame them for. So we took a decision then to say, let's just cover the whole portfolio. And we got 1.5 billion rands worth of cover from Sasria at the time. Our portfolio, I think, was about 4.5 billion rand. So the balance of that we got from private insurers where we topped it up. So we were fully covered for that. And we left it in place because we didn't know when COVID was going to end. And, you know, some people say it's luck. Some people say it's great risk management. And you know, what transpired was those riots that happened in July 2021, which was unprecedented in South Africa. And we had five shopping centers that were impacted. Four of them were up and running within, I would say, two of them were up and running within a day. Then another two of them took about a week. But the biggest devastation occurred at KwaMashu at our shopping center called Bridge City. And that was totally gutted. I mean, we were left with a roof and basically a wall, the exterior structure. So if you can just imagine, the escalators were vandalized, the lifts, the bollards even. There was not even a hinge on a door left behind. That's how bad it was, damaged and looted. So, I mean, that was about...
What was the cost on that? Because it would have quite significant, I would think.
I think this is where we were happy that we had the insurance in place, because the four centers I mentioned that were minor, I mean, the total damages there was probably about 35, 40 million rand, ranging there. The biggest damage was at Bridge City. It was about 800 million rands worth of damage and loss of rental of 180 million rand over 18-month period. And we were fully insured for both. So that's why our returns have held up well in the fund, is that we preserved capital and we received our rental income that we would have lost had we not had the insurance in place.
Well, some good planning there, as it were, because from my insights, with the reopening, it was one of the last malls to actually open after the riots. But the work has been incredible. If you look at the visuals that won it, the category at the SAPOA Awards. Thanks for that insight, Smittle. Why is Comprop committed to growing the burgeoning township and rural property market? It's not new, I know, in this market, but do you have the listed players like Vukile, Dipula, and Exemplar that also have shown comparatively have been doing better than the funds that are not purely focused on retail or rural and township? And now you see even the likes of Redefine buying into Alex Mall there. That also means that the sector is becoming more competitive.
Yeah, no, I think I welcome competition in this space. I think it's an exciting space. I think there's still room for growth. I do think that if you apply a retail-focused mindset, that we're used to running centers in the urban areas and you try and apply that to the township rural space, the chances of failing is high. And we, internally, we don't call ourselves a retail-focused fund. We are a high-impact, community-centric fund. So why we use that term is that we are focused on creating employment in the areas we operate. So if you look at all our shopping centers, and we can give you the stats that's verified, that 80% of all employment that comes in our shopping center is from the local community where the shopping center is based. And we take it one step further, is that we also procure services from local businesses through our procurement system so that we keep the community happy. And if you recall, I said we are a community-centric fund, is that when you have support from the community, you will achieve success. Because we look at the consumer, we know the unemployment rate in South Africa is high. We know the consumer wants an affordable essential goods and services and access to it. I mean, if I look at some of the rural centers we've developed or bought over time, there were people traveling probably 40 kilometers to obtain a pension grant payout, which is just over 2,000 rand. And so the disposable income that they get at the end of the day is nothing, especially when they're traveling that far because of the transportation costs. So, when we look at centers, we don't just look at it as retail. We look at it as how do we provide services that can better the community. So I think competition is good, but it's for us, it also helps us to elevate ourselves. So, when competition comes, how do we improve as a team as well?
Well, some of the elements that you mentioned fits in with the whole ESG side of things as well. On that note, and following the previous question, what is Comprop's target for growth over the next 10 years in terms of the size of its portfolio and other elements, other metrics that you consider?
Look, we're targeting to reach about 10 billion rand by 2026. That's our short-term target. We never target fund sizes because we feel that when you start targeting growth to grow assets under management and earn more fees and becoming a bigger juggernaut, it actually detracts from you focusing on delivering returns for your investors. So our priority is always returns. I mean, if, you know, I mean, I showed you that, you know, over the last decade, even though it was a very difficult environment, we managed to achieve a 12.4% return. That is what we focused on. And Suren, we're not shy that if excess cash builds up over time and we don't see opportunities, we're not shy to give the money back to investors, the excess cash, being a private fund. So, yeah, I think difficult for me to give you an answer where we see ourselves in the next decade. But I think when you become too big, and you see it, I mean, I'm not going to mention names, but when companies become too big, it becomes harder to outperform.
Well, it makes sense. The metrics is not only about size, as you say. So thanks for that insight. It's a bit of a cliche question, all the talk about it, considering it was an election year in South Africa. What are your thoughts around the new GNU and also expectations for the growth of the economy, perhaps over the next 5 years, because that's the term of the current government? Within the context of interest rates also falling, we've seen some positive sentiments that has been buoying the listed property sector, which I'm sure you are also benefiting from as well. So there's quite a bit of positivity, rather, around property going forward.
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously the rate cuts are important. It increases spendable income in retail shops, which is always a benefit for funds like ours that are, like I said, that are invested in the township and rural communities. But I think the GNU, you know, if you look at it from the top level, it sounds all great. You know, it's obviously created this positive sentiment and everybody's watching each other, which is a good thing. You know, if one party steps out of line, the other ones are pointing out that the other one stepped out of line. So I think there is more accountability at the top level. However, I might be a bit controversial. I at the bottom level, and when I say the bottom level, it's the municipal level. The GNU is a tricky political landscape. And you would have seen, like, at the city of Tshwane, the mayor, how many times the mayor has changed. And that's not great for property owners, whether you're in the residential space or office or industrial or retail. That volatility in the municipality just means that service delivery gets affected in the long term. And as you know, a lot of our municipalities, the bulk of municipalities, are not delivering on their mandates. So I feel that, you know, the government should probably focus on service delivery at the municipal level and send down the same message that's coming from the top in terms of the GNU to the bottom, that they should be working together to deliver an outcome for the citizens of South Africa. But yeah, I do believe that property owners for the next 5 years will still have to work hard to sweat those assets, because I don't think that the GNU necessarily is going to make a deep enough impact. I think the green shoots are emerging in terms of what's happening. And I think, you know, it's going to be a slow progress, but I think it can't get worse than what it was previously. And I would say the next 5 years, it's starting off a low base. So we're going to see this optimism and buoyism, but we should never have slid that far back, in my opinion.
Well, it's a comment that I've heard before, so appreciate that. Smital, thanks so much for your time on the podcast. That was Smital Rambai, the portfolio manager at Comprop.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.